Good morning. Today is Monday, February the 24th. Joining us this morning, Mr. Arkley. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Oh, it's nice that spring training is happening.
Oh.
Do you guys go down?
Went once. And, you know, it was fun. Saw a game and saw players up close.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the flow of a regular game. But the people who go love it. And they really do.
I think it's vacation time. Rather, you know, you go to a regular season game. It's serious. Nah. I'd like to go to a Grapefruit.
I think that would be fun.
Someday. Of course, I'd probably have to swing by Cape Canaveral also.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Good old Titusville.
Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That this morning?
Yes.
Mushy. Why is the word mush used in describing the feeling of love?
You got me.
The term was originally and more appropriately applied to kissing. Kisses that are wet are called mushy, for they leave the same moisture around the mouth that is found in the face of a small child after he's been fed
mush. Wow.
Now, it doesn't explain the idea to Rod and why they mush. Different level of concern.
What is the Iditarod? It's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's February, if they're going to permit it this year.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. So what is your take so far on the presidential stuff? Surprise, not surprise? Playing out kind of what you were thinking it would?
I think it's playing out the way I thought it would. I think Bloomberg entering and basically buying the political system is a little frightening to me. I'm not wild about it.
Do you think he's getting traction? I mean, they indicate that he is, but he's still a pretty distant number two.
He's a distant number two, and I don't think until Biden gets out, and if Biden doesn't get out, Bernie's greatly advantaged, and it will be harder for Bloomberg to get significant traction.
Yeah, the splitting. There was one thing I found interesting. The gal from Minnesota had said, and
good old Amy.
And I didn't realize that this was the case. And she made the comment, and it was confirmed by a couple of my buds in Minnesota, that internet advertisers don't have to disclose who they are. So there was, I guess, an effort 2 or 4 years ago in Minnesota for, and the way it was described to me, because we were trying to be apolitical, was Party A put something together for registration and voting on Election Day, and it wasn't as presented. And some people who went to vote were not registered with the party that they thought that they were, and they were not able to vote the way that they wanted to because they were registered on the in party the other camp.
I've never heard
and
of
I
that.
I thought, huh. So she had made comment last week that she's in favor of all internet advertising has to have disclosure, similar to what the broadcast industry has. You know, you have to clearly identify.
That actually
who it
appeals
is.
To me.
It's just clarity. It just makes sense.
It is clarity.
Yeah.
And
so that was one thing I learned last week.
Well, I thought they pounced on Bloomberg and Bernie danced through that whole debate with almost no one paying attention to him.
Yeah, the debates are intriguing for me, and I thought it would be more of a roundtable style or presentation mode. You say something, you mention somebody else's name, now that person gets a response, and they mention two other people's names. Now all of a sudden you got 5 or 6 hands up in the air, all kind of trying to talk over one another, and it didn't seem like it gave the opportunity for an awful lot of discussion or dialogue on topics or thoughts because everybody was trying to CYA.
And get their voice. I was interested, they measure how much each candidate gets to speak during the debate, and I guess the winner was Warren at 16.5 minutes or some such number, and I thought, wow, I never really...
It just is interesting how each of these are done differently. CBS's one later this week will be a little bit different also. I mean, it just is intriguing to me how these things can play out instead of having one formula. And that's how it it runs, but I don't know how many debates they're going to have.
Well, there's another one
coming up on number 10.
Another one Tuesday?
Yeah, I think tomorrow. I think
or Saturday? Oh, Saturday's the caucus.
Right. Right.
I think the interesting thing about this political season is we're going to have a genuine national debate, it looks like to me, over socialism, communism versus capitalism. And I think it's going to be a really healthy debate.
Yeah, I hope it's presented evenly.
It won't be. It won't be.
But you know, I still have hope.
Well, no, it will be hard for him to run from. And so, I'm pretty sure there are going to be some awfully good strategies as far as pulling people out into the sunlight.
Do you think Sanders will end up being the nominee? I mean, it looks that way right now.
I just don't know, because if he's not, what are they going to do to keep his voters who really believe they were not fairly treated last time, to keep them even showing up again? I think they're going to disenfranchise or shatter the party.
That's what I would, saying he's socialist, I'm simple-minded here. Why is he involved with the Democratic debate?
I think
shouldn't it be the Socialist Party? And somebody who's a registered Democrat be the Democratic candidate?
I agree, but...
I don't know.
Look, I think it's a very healthy thing we're seeing.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, the concept of Bloomberg coming on board. Now, when Trump came on 4 years ago, one of the things that people were talking about was the fact that he was not beholden to the machine. He was his own guy. Self-financing, all that kind of stuff. Or at least having the opportunity to self-finance and then raise funds without having the blessing of the RNC. Bloomberg, if you change things around a little bit and said the DNC instead of the RNC, is kind of the same kind of boat. So why do people have the concerns? Is it just because he's spending so much money to get the attention?
Yeah, and he's spending so much money, and I don't think Americans want the system bought by one person. And right now, Bloomberg's in a position to buy each and every federal, state, and local election and make them almost, they won't need any funding besides what he gives them. That's how the magnitude of the money he can give.
Yeah, certainly he's got a lot of bends he can throw at this thing. But what about Soros? I mean, he's not out in front doing it, but he's been doing it. Zuckerberg's been doing it, not to the same extent, but they've got resources also that are at the state, at the local levels.
Oh, Soros is doing it, Brian.
It's just that he's not running as a candidate. Is that the distinction?
He's not running as a candidate, and don't think that Soros and Bloomberg stand for the same thing.
Oh, no, I wouldn't suspect.
I mean, Soros really is a globalist who wants to blow up everything, from what I can tell. Bloomberg I think is just mad that
mad angry or mad crazy?
Mad angry that Trump is president and he's not. I mean,
just because Trump beat him to the punch, or are there philosophical disagreements?
Well,
also,
there are philosophical things, but never forget, I know people who know Bloomberg. He's a very disagreeable guy, very, very, very king of the world tendencies.
My way or the highway, kind of thing.
No, my way because I'm smarter, and he has genuine contempt for his fellow human being.
Is he intelligent?
I think he's absolutely smashingly brilliant.
Okay, so his position could be well justified. It's just how he
interacts with people. Don't confuse making money with, you know, there's more to life than just making money. And his common denominator to everything he does is just power, Powerball.
So as things are shaping up, you know, one of the things that a lot of people will talk about is when there are the elections and who's choosing to run for what office, is a lot of folks are running, but they have no intention of winning and they know they have no chance. The old snowball analogy, right?
Yes.
To get a position. Who do you think is going to be, if Bernie wins or if Mike wins the nomination, who do you think they're going to choose as the running mate? One of the others that are on the panel right now, or somebody who we don't know about yet?
That's a great question. I would think Klobuchar brings a lot. She's upper Midwest and swing states. She's Minnesota, but at the same time, I think she has a pretty good in on it. I don't know who else would run, who else would be a logical selection. It's not Pete. I don't see Bernie and Bloomberg going together. I don't see
Clinton has been surfacing as a possible. Is that just distraction?
I think it's distraction. And, I mean, you want to polarize the electorate again. Go ahead and, you know, she can't even acknowledge she lost. And so, I mean, she's kind of lost her grip with reality.
So as we're looking at that, that's one aspect. We've also got a lot of gubernatorial, senatorial, and congressional races that are starting to kind of come into play. Is there any of those that you see either as a harbinger or as a litmus test?
I think the interesting one is going to be Michelle Caruso Cabrera in New York running against AOC. I think Michelle will give... I don't know that AOC will win. She lost all those jobs for, was it Amazon?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of high-paying jobs, and I think you just beat that nail into that board, and it just is no fun.
It'll be interesting. We might at least hear from her again. She's kind of disappeared the last couple of months.
Oh, I think Pelosi's put her in the penalty box.
Oh. Fair enough. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Rob, looking at some of the different things that are going on a little closer to home. I read an article last Friday, I think it was, talking about malls. And that malls are now reinventing themselves into entertainment centers. Where I went driving, I guess it was on Thursday last week. along F Street, from about 6th Street down to the water. The amount of retail space that's empty
is astonishing.
Stunning. Disappointing. Disturbing. And I know that the landscape has shifted. I know malls are now are into a whole different arena than what they were 25 years ago. I get it. But I guess it's maybe a sign of my aging, that if I look at retail storefronts and if they're empty, something's wrong. If they're full, something's right. Simple and easy. Do you sense that retail is healthy?
Locally?
Locally, regionally. I mean, it's a California thing, I think, more than it is national.
Well, locally, retail is being hit by two things. One, we have a really bunch of lousy looking older buildings that were pretty good looking 10 or 15 years ago and haven't had any money put back in them. And
yeah, they're not classic historical.
There's a difference in classic and historical and old. They look old, and no, a coat of paint won't do it. So
be a nice first step, though, for some of them.
It would be. And the other thing we're running into is a lot of people in my generation, low 60s, mid 60s, are retiring. And there aren't kids or younger entrepreneurs coming to take their businesses over. So they're just liquidating and not going back in. So I think some of these buildings are going to need to be either torn down and or repurposed and a variety of things.
And that requires the willingness to do the investment. And I would suspect that the investment that hasn't been willing to be made the last 15 or 20 years isn't suddenly going to turn around in the next 6 months.
Oh, I don't know.
You think there's a cattle prod out there that's going to push it?
Here's the deal. Is the real estate is crummy and it's overpriced. And so you're going to have to have prices come down so it trades, so you get an entrepreneur to put the money in to fix it. These buildings can be fixed. Look what I did with the Vance.
But you need that space, that margin for your ROI to kick in.
That's precisely it.
So what's going to trigger the recognition or the desire to sell at a market value, not on what the perception?
Just capitulation. At some point you get tired and your building's worn out and you keep hearing the same.
It's the screw it moment?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And frankly, Bri, there's going to be a lot of very new product coming on the market over the next 2 to 5 years that will make the obsolete properties more obsolete.
Kind of force the hand.
Yeah, I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting around. We're going to have a beautiful development and on the balloon track on X Street, and that stuff is going to happen, and it will make the stuff on 6th Street less valuable. Some of the 4th Street stuff will be less valuable. And, you know, I think tenants will decide I can pay more, but I get more. And
or pay the same and get more.
No,
depending on where the rents are. Yeah. You know, and some of these other ones, if there's no... Yeah.
I think you have to go up and make sure that there's some residential downtown. And some of this retail probably ought to be converted into a more kitschy type look.
Is there demand locally for that kind of experience?
I think so.
I think living downtown would be kind of cool for the youngers. And if you can't afford, you know, if you're working and you can't afford a house, there's not a lot of choice. There might be that opportunity to be able to do that, either in a condo situation or a rental. Okay, that's cool. But the stuff on the ground floor?
Stuff on the ground floor, I still think there's demand for it. I just think that fundamentally, when you look at 4th, 5th, 6th, no, 4, 3, 2, 1, probably 5th, that all is still going to be desirable, if for no other reason than you have the freeway.
The exposure.
Highway 101.
Yeah.
But 6th and up, I just think those are going to be...
There's no magnets there now.
And it's going to get worse. And I just don't see it as a long-term place.
Unless there's something else that goes on that we're unaware of. I mean, let's say there was another 350 jobs, boom, in the area. who knows where they're going to come from. But okay, now you got demand. Now you need more retail. Now there's more juice in the engine, so to speak. Maybe some of those properties still are viable as they are.
It could happen.
But I think we haven't seen a jolt like that in a long, 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 long time.
Well, most of what we have here is wood construction, and a lot of this stuff is at the end of its useful life. And, you know, wood gets old. Brick kind of hangs around. Our earthquakes, I see why we don't have brick, but we have a little bit, but not a lot. And,
but, you know, we don't have snakes, so that's a good thing.
Isn't that great?
Those poor guys down in Mississippi dealing with the floods.
Oh, has there been snakes all over?
Well, everything's, yeah, they're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, well, no, it's cold.
Yeah, well, you just don't see snake on a stick. It's not that cold.
Boy, we have a lot of snakes in Louisiana.
yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, looking around, you mentioned the balloon track earlier. Since last we got together, Waterfront Drive has punched through. Are we going to start to see development along the waterfront? Is it there? Are the property values there? Is there the demand there yet?
I think the demand will be there. I think we've given tenants really crummy choices for where they can go.
And yeah, two bad choices really isn't a choice.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so I think the demand will be there. It's a scary time to do a lot of building because we're clearly at the end of the cycle. There are a lot of unknowns out there, such as this coronavirus could really serve to derail our economy because so many things are
made overseas. Yeah.
Interconnected.
Yeah.
And so... what do they say? A chain's only as strong as its weakest link. And we're about to find out the logic of that. So I don't know. I don't think I'd be building right now. We have several large people talking to us about our various properties. And that's why I'm so confident Humboldt County is specifically Eureka and the Peninsula are going to fly. It's just going to be easy. It's going to be great. But
will it be soon?
Yeah, we'll. Let's put it this way. We'll live to see 300 new jobs in the next 5 years.
Okay.
Almost no matter.
When you say we'll live to, and then immediately I start thinking about mortality rates.
No, I think we'll see.
In the short term, there's going to be some activity.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot. And good jobs, not, you know, low-paying jobs. And
private sector jobs.
Real jobs.
Well, that...
Not ones that you and I pay for.
Every 2 weeks, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Anything gets you excited about what's going on in California? Pluses or minuses?
Quite a few minuses. I think this homeless situation, I think we're doing a better job in Eureka than we ever have. By no means is it cured. But everywhere else, it's just getting logarithmically worse. We're having diseases.
Is that
from
California specific, or are you seeing, you know, with your travels and stuff, is there more homeless? Is California a magnet for homelessness, or is it just we're seeing the same percentage rise that everybody else is?
Absolutely not. Liberal cities, homelessness. Conservative cities, very little homelessness. It's about that simple. And so the one that gives me kind of a charge is Austin's having a hard time with homelessness now. And so...
You all heard that little giggle, right? That cackle? Yeah, okay. Next. Sorry to interrupt. Well, it will be interesting. Obviously, there's not a single solution potential. I still would love to see the mental health facilities come back and be able to get that segment out so that those folks get help.
Until we get judges willing to make decisions that positively impact the vast majority of us at the potential expense of the tiny minority who are homeless, we will continue to have this problem. We're being wiped out by these people. And I think everyone thinks California is irretrievably liberal. It's not. It's irretrievably corrupt right now. But homelessness is not a given, and it is going to be a tipping argument.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, buddy.
See everybody tomorrow.